know the vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K25. Gentlemen, what a night of NBA basketball we just had. An absolutely thrilling finals game. To break it down with me once again, we have live and direct from Indiana, Mr. Christopher Thomas, and of course, the legendary coach, Mr. Brendan Sir. Gentlemen, how are your heart rates doing after that thriller of a fourth quarter?
CT, you can go first, brother.
Oh, goodness. I got to do it.
Were you going to tell them about the text you sent me then? CT was worried. No, I think all Pacer fans were worried in the first quarter.
Hats off to the Pacers. I got to give it to them. I got to give it to them because they're here to compete. They're here to win it. They're not just here. Glad to be here type mode. And Shea looks tired. Shea, for the first time, looks like he's struggling.
Coach, sir, you called this before the game. You said the Pacers wouldn't lose another game three. They won 116 to 107. What's your immediate off the bat reaction?
Well, I think, you know, every team should in basketball have their own identity, style of play. And Indiana's is, we might not win the first, second, or third quarter, but we're going to try to wear you out in the fourth quarter. We're going to step up. And tonight, 32-18, they outscored a fantastic team, the best team in the league. Just tremendous. And I mean, to get a guy like TJ, you know,
we're going to talk about TJ McConnell. Wow.
He was just awesome as far as he exemplifies the kind of guy that just has grit, you know, and all that, doesn't have the talent that, you know, 400, you know, plus guys in the league have. But man, he's got a heart that every coach in the league. He's funny. Him and Caruso over the years are the most sought after guys because their salaries are moderate. Yes. But when they, you know, have always been most sought after guy by teams that they want to acquire, you know, because they're not expensive, but they play harder than anyone you got on your team that's a star.
I think I said it during the regular season. I think Scott was on the show with me and I said, if you're a young player watching basketball.
Who's Scott?
An old friend of the show, Mr. Perry. but I said, you know, if you're a young player watching the NBA, chances are you're not going to be LeBron or Giannis or Wemby. But TJ McConnell is a guy that you can be
attainable
with enough work. That's 100% hustle and heart. That's what you're seeing. So let's break it down, right? Because Indy didn't look great to begin this game. I think Chet scored 12 of OKC's first 19 points, right? He got off to a hot start. The defense was locked in. The Pacers were down 8 points after the first. And then, you know, Coach Sir, we talked about this after the last game. Haliburton taking that 6 minutes of rest to start the quarter was probably the reason why they lost game two. Tonight, TJ McConnell comes in for Haliburton, and he shifted the momentum of the entire game. He, in fact, led them to take a 39-36 lead with Haliburton sitting on the bench the entire time. There's not many backup point guards in the league that will come into an NBA Finals game and take your team from being down 32-24 to being up 39-36.
You know, Rick Carlisle, my old coaching buddy, first year he ever coached CT, was with Chuck Daly and myself in New Jersey. And when we came over from the Pistons, Chuck and I had to hire two assistants, and we hired the great, incomparable Paul Silas. And Rick Carlisle was starting out his career, and we always liked him, just liked him. Even though he was always on another team, we just liked him and gave him a shot. And just had a tremendous relationship. And now he's really, you know, to give him his true flowers, earned flowers, he's the best coach in the league right now. He's getting that accolades. And by the mass consensus, you know, not by me, just the mass consensus. And I'm proud of him for what he's done. And he's making every right move. He gives his team a great edge. But he's got a terrific staff who he delegates to. And I'm really proud of him. But you know what? I'll tell you what, as that game went along, the game got too physical for Chet.
Mm-hmm.
Got too physical for him.
Mm-hmm. Noticeably, right?
He had a hot start, but he finished with 20 and 10. But like I say, 12 of those 20 points were in the first quarter, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, TJ McConnell's come into the game. shifted the momentum of the entire thing. The building's energy's gone to another level. And it was interesting because OKC actually had 0 bench points, and they're known for their depth, and the Pacers are known for their depth too. OKC didn't have any bench points till midway through the second quarter when Isaiah Joe came into the game and hit a couple of shots. And tonight, the bench for OKC, Caruso gave them 8, Hartenstein gave them 4, Isaiah Joe gave them 6, and that was all they got. And then
Not
you
enough.
compare that to 10, 5, and 5, and 5 of those being steals for TJ McConnell, and 8 for Obi Toppin, 4 for Ben Shepherd, but a 27-point explosion from Mr. Benedict Mathurin.
Hey, side note, Jim Carrey plays Coach Carlisle on the
Isn't that amazing? Isn't that
biopic.
amazing?
Every time, like, wow, it's just incredible. Doppelganger, but Mathurin McDonald tonight. Wow, what a bench! What a bench play. Besides the others that did all the other little things, not so much scoring, but just the defensive
Ben Shepherd
presence.
picking up full court, harassing SGA, because Nesmith
Jeez.
and Nembhard picked up 3 fouls pretty early in this one.
Yeah. And you thought the Pacers would be in trouble with those two, especially in foul
I
trouble.
thought they'd be finished.
Yeah. And no. Mathurin and TJ McDonald, who can score, and then the next possession, the defensive put in, next defense possession affect that, and then affect the next offensive possession like he does. He's incredible.
I was doing a live stream during the game with a couple of friends. We were doing a watch along live stream, and they're kind of newer NBA fans, more casual NBA fans. One of them's an OKC fan, and he was freaking out. He's like, "Who is this guy? Where has he come from?" And then it was like the play where I think he hit the shot and then steals the inbounds and then hits the shot. And I'm like, he's been doing that his whole career. That's what he does. Before Jose Alvarado got famous for it, TJ McConnell has been this pesky little guy that's going to scrap and try and steal every ball possible. And offensively, he's fundamentally sound, always looks to make a play for his teammates. But Benedict Mathurin, right? 9 of 12 tonight for 27 points. So you might get a 0 from 12, you might get a 3 from 12, but tonight you got a 9 of 12 and you're going to
You
take
got
it. And I'm watching this game, and our old friend, Mr. BJ Armstrong, always says your bench is going to win you a game in a series. And
it.
tonight was the night that the Pacers couldn't lose this game after getting that contribution off their bench from those two guys.
In the NBA, they have a saying that your role players will play better at home than they do on the road. The thing that was stunning to me was, Wiggins was so good last game, and Dagnall only gives him 9 minutes tonight, and the guy blanks. I mean, from 18 points or whatever he had, or 20 points to nothing, basically. That's just, I mean,
It's
that's
tough.
just significant. Yeah.
Tough loss. Tough loss for OKC all around because of the just lack of bench presence. And then Shai just looked not beat down, but just worn down. Forced a couple shots, didn't get the foul calls he normally gets, missing free
It's
throws.
surprising, right? Because during the playoffs, they were playing a game every other day. Conference finals, you get one day rest in between games. Now it's the finals, and I understand there's more media obligations and things. However, you've got more time off between games. It's surprising that in game three of the series, because this is what the Pacers do, they will full court press you, they'll run, push the pace for 48 minutes, they'll wear teams down. But you usually see that in game five, game six. But game three, are OKC looking worn out?
Well,
Well, the
that's
guy
a
played
hard.
four.
He played
Well, go
42
ahead.
minutes. He played 42
Yeah.
minutes tonight also. That's
Thank you. They
a
got
lot of
nothing off the
minutes.
bench. They needed all 42 of those minutes.
No, but that's a lot of minutes. That's more than
That's
he
insane.
normally has to go. And I'll tell you what, that crowd was electric tonight.
Yes,
That
sir.
was fantastic crowd. And it's just an amazing thing what that does to the best players in the world. How when everyone's cheering for you, it does something to you, and when everyone's cheering against you, I've always been amazed by that, And so, incredible, incredible effort by them. Now they have home court.
It definitely had an advantage because OKC, I don't remember the last time I saw them get 17 turnovers in a game. They had 16 assists and 17
Minnesota.
turnovers.
Weren't they badly in Minnesota or no?
Oh, it was game three as well. I don't know how many turnovers they had. I don't know, but
They
having more
lost by
turnovers than
40.
assists is the most.
Oh,
And
without it.
that game ended after the first quarter. Like that
Yeah,
wasn't a, you know what I mean? Like this is a real game that goes down to the end.
I totally agree.
But OKC, the reason they were so great this season was because they generated more turnovers for the opponents than they gave up themselves. And they were doing a great job of moving the basketball, so on and so forth. Tonight, you have more turnovers than assists. It's an absolute horror show for them.
Yeah, I just think some of the key plays where Halliburton gets his own rebound off a miss, and you see Shea contest but not
Yeah.
block out, no effort
And the
to go
Obi
long
Toppin putback
rebound.
dunk where
That
Chet
one
just
is
lets him walk past him
that
to
was the
like
killer.
I understand, okay, you're not going to win a physicality matchup against Miles Turner. He's 7 foot tall, but at least box out Obi Toppin. Come on now, what are we doing here, Chet?
So here's as we just so to take our listeners into this, I think even though the fourth quarter was so decisive, you feel like watching the game that it was a, you know, they kicked their ass from the get-go, which it wasn't. But there's a one-day turnaround now. They play Friday. Okay, today it was a Wednesday Friday game. Tomorrow's film and this is a great film if I'm Mark Daigneault, OKC, to show my guys. And the corrections are so simple because of those effort plays mainly. Guys like Caruso taking the ball out, throwing them right to McConnell. I mean, just for layups. I mean, things like that. They gave up, you know, two baskets on that alone. So I think this is stuff that they'll correct. And again, we know they're a team that doesn't lose two games in a row. So if they come out with a split, that's what you go there for. Now they got home court back. And plus, I'm telling you, when you win a home playoff game, the biggest fear as a coach you have is that the next day when you see your players, they'll have back injuries from everyone patting them on the back, telling them how great they were. You know, especially in the finals, you know, this is something, you know, you've been to the finals. I remember 2 years, 3 years ago, right, with Golden State and Boston. And every family member comes on the road with you. They go to every family member flies
They're waiting
into
around after the
town.
game. They're
Yeah, I mean
everywhere.
it's nothing that's during the regular season. Under regular season on the road, you're not allowed to travel. Family members, wives, nothing. So all of a sudden now all the rules are out the window. And so now the advantage, you know, goes to the team that's on the road. Because now when you're at home and you got all those family people there, what are we going to do tomorrow? Where are we going to eat? What are we and you're working as the coach or as the player. And you saw that
And this is
alone.
where experience comes in because they've not been in this situation before. They're navigating it for the first time. And the only
That's
player on their
hard.
roster who knows how to navigate this is Alex Caruso.
Caruso and Carlisle.
Bro.
But no, you're absolutely right.
You know, but the bad news for the Pacers fans, I will never forget after game three of that finals you just mentioned. BJ and I were in an office in Boston recording a show after the game, right? We come back from the arena and record it. And I walked in there with the biggest smile on my face. And I said, "You know the vibes." And I said, "The Boston Celtics are now 2 games away from winning the NBA championship." And I thought we had won it already.
Already, wow.
Because I thought, come on, man, we stole game one in Golden State. We're up 2-1 now. We'll win the next game. We'll be up 3-1. And then it's ours to lose, right?
Sure.
And it changed real quick. So I just want to let the Pacers fans know, don't make my mistake of celebrating too early because the other team still has the MVP of the league on their roster and
Yes,
they
they
ain't going to
do.
go away easily.
No, and if you've never been through this, you just can't even explain to people what it's going to be like. And you can give them all the warning signals in the world, but you just can't tell them what it's going to be like, nor do they want to hear it, frankly. You know, so I'm fascinated. Can't wait for Friday, to be honest with you.
Boy,
What did you guys think of Jalen Williams' performance? Because he had a stretch there to end the third quarter to give OKC a slight lead, closing out the third quarter, where he had like a crazy left-handed one-hand assist to a cutting check from the corner, follows it up with a pull-up three-pointer. And I thought, okay, that's kind of taken some momentum in favor of OKC because they went from being down to, in the space of a minute, being up by five going into the fourth.
CT, what do you think?
Yeah, I just think both teams really are out of sorts. No team has played at their highest level. I think Pacers have been more consistent with who they are for the most part. But Jalen Williams has tried to put it together today and just couldn't keep it together. I mean, it's just struggling a little bit.
Four turnovers.
That might be first time blues for him. Just figuring out how to, how to be the man, or SGA just needed someone to step up, someone else to step up tonight.
Because there were some possessions where OKC will come down and Shai's just stood in the corner. I don't know if it's because he was tired. I don't know if it was the game
I'm
plan.
sorry.
But then I'm watching Jalen Williams ISO. And coach, it made me think of the stat that you threw out on the other show the other day about the number of passes in the game. And I was kind of concerned with the lack of, kind of organized offense and ball movement from the OKC Thunder because, Shai, he took 20 shots and ended up with 24 points.
I
Like,
think, I think CT hit it on the head. When either one of these teams, or frankly any good team, in the moves the ball, that's when you play your best. Indiana, when they got that thing hopping, they look good. And the same with OKC. I don't know what I think they're trying to hunt out mismatches too much,
exactly.
and I think when
Too
you
much
do that,
strategy.
yeah, I think that leads to one-on-one play. And if your guy's not at his best, I thought Jalen Williams was primed for a monster game. And then I don't think he got many shots in the fourth quarter. I don't know what he had, to be honest with you. But the guy had 26 points on 18 shots. That's pretty good. And I think, even though, they had Naismith on him a lot, I think, their best defender on him, which was very, very smart, because I think Carlisle's conceded, we're just going to work the other guy full court, but he's going to get his. That was an old fool you. Oh, he'll step off the bus and have 34 points and just act like. But the last thing they're doing is conceding 34. They're telling their world they're going to get 34, but they're basically picking his ass up 94 feet and pressing him to
There you
wear him
go.
out. Yeah,
There you
so it's a little rope-a-dope on his part,
go.
by Rick, but I think they really they had good matchups today, and I think, Mathurin is one of those guys. He looks the part. I mean, he's an absolute
You never seen
stud.
a shot he don't want to take.
Yeah, but
And
he's a stud. He's tough.
yeah.
He's dirty. I don't mean dirty, but he'll knock you on your ass.
Yeah,
He'll
he ain't
foul you
afraid of no
hard.
one. Just
No.
hard nose. Right.
Yeah, and so I like that. But tonight, his offense came with him.
Oh, big time.
And it's a credit to Rick Carlisle for trusting him in that situation and giving him. How many minutes did he play tonight? He played 20, 23
22.
minutes, 22 minutes off
Yeah,
the bench.
but he was terrific.
You know what I think was a game changer in my opinion? The game was tied with 7 minutes to go. 7 minutes ago, we were doing a stream, and I looked at it. I said, Miles Turner has had a horrible game tonight. He was at that time, he was like 1 of 10 from the field, or whatever it was.
Is
He
that
had
right?
one rebound, so on. So he finished with 3 of 11 from the field, 9 points, 5 blocks, a steal, an assist, and 2 boards. So on paper, it looks like Chet Holmgren absolutely cooked him, right? Because Chet's got 20 and 10, the flashy stat line. But down that stretch, Miles Turner. Not just the kind of highlight of blocking Chet's three-pointer, or when he went down to the block and got a tough bucket, just shrugging Chet out of the way, saying, "No, come on, little boy, you get out of here."
Big
But
boy.
he turned up the gas in that final 7 minute
Yes.
stretch, and that for me was the difference maker for Indiana because before then he was having one of the worst games I've seen him play in a long time.
And he's a good screener. He's a pick and pop guy, but he also can roll and finish. They need him to play well. They need him because they're not, OKC is not getting much at, and it looks like they don't really trust Hartenstein as much as you think they would.
I think it's because of the pace, because Indiana, like the thing tonight is they were getting out and running like they usually do. And I think Hartenstein is just a bit too slow to keep up with the pace of the Indiana team.
So I mean, that's the game, and so Dagnall's saying I can't play him, so I'm going to go small, and I don't think he can beat Indiana going small because Topping's the X factor because of his athleticism.
I think Turner, to your point, Mo, did an exceptional job just defending, and then the better part of his game was his decision making, not taking those long unnecessary threes. He pulled back on two or three of them, two I know. When it felt all Indiana, no, kind of one of those, please don't shoot that, and then made a good decision getting it off. So, different, this just Pacers just had a bunch of difference makers. They just looked like they were not giving this game up by any means necessary tonight.
I think this finals has the potential to shift the way everyone in the league views team building because the Indiana Pacers just won a game of the NBA Finals where three of their five stars scored in single digits. Now,
About that.
usually you would hear that and think, okay, well, they must have got blown out.
Blown out,
And
right?
they sat their stars for the second half. No, they just had,
Forty,
I don't know how many bench points they finished with, right? Like 50
man.
bench points, somewhere around
Yeah,
there.
it had to
They
be.
27 Mathurin, 10 for McConnell, 8 for Toppin, 4 for Shepherd, right? They have this depth that is a luxury most teams don't have because they're stacked with top heavy contracts. Whereas the Pacers have constructed this roster in, Miles Turner's been in trade rumors every year since the beginning of time. They've managed to hold on to him. They took a bet on Tyrese Haliburton when that whole situation was there in Sacramento and they didn't know what to do. And they traded, Sabonis, who was a key cornerstone for their franchise at the time, took that risk. They managed to get Nesmith from the Celtics, and at the time, no one thought that was a good deal for them. They thought the Celtics had finessed them. Turns out being a really good player. They got Nembhard late in the draft as well. Pascal Siakam as well.
Key trade.
Toronto go into a rebuild. Pascal Siakam finished with 21 points in the game tonight, and he was a key factor early, keeping them in the game as well, even though it seems like he had a quiet one. Guys like Obi Toppin not getting enough minutes on the Knicks, and they traded him for what, 2 second-round picks? And he's the one who goes and eliminates the New York Knicks in the playoffs this year. Ben Shepherd as well, Thomas Bryant, who's bounced around a little bit and he's been on different teams. But like the team that's been constructed in Indiana, they've got so many different options that they can go with and mixing and matching the depth because there are some teams that have a good bench unit, but it's like their stars are good and their bench unit's good, but you can't really intertwine them. Whereas here, Rick Carlisle can be versatile with different types of lineups he puts out.
We said that before the series started, that these are the two best constructed teams in the league, two teams that are under the salary cap, two teams that have the most depth and play the most guys. But today, the roster won out of Indiana. Last game, it was OKC's bench roster that won out. So this is just validating two
The
well-put
Pacers only have
teams.
two players. They only have two players making over $20 million this season. That's Siakam and that's Haliburton, both making 42. Everyone
That's
else on
the
the roster is
Pacers.
making under $20 million this year.
Yeah, that's the Pacers. They ever since I've moved here, lived here, they're not a superstars organization or team, but they have superstars. And they do it, kind of the right way organizationally, where they just bring in the right type of players. And the right type of coach to be, as you said earlier, to have a culture and bring in a system that's going to win. And they've proven it this season of any season when what Cleveland start out with so hot and just taking off in the big in the Eastern
15-0
Conference.
Should
Right
I
out of
tell
the
you what I
bat.
love about this Pacers team? They don't have one player on the roster. Well, I guess Mathurin may be that guy, but when you play him, you want him to do this. They don't have anyone who stops the ball. The ball is constantly moving. They've got great decision makers and they play as a team. Now, every team in the league, they might be the least stand around and watch one guy isolate guy out of every team that there is in the NBA.
Yeah, the great, and I say great because he's a great teammate and he's a great leader and he's a great person. Someone I've known for 20 plus years, Udonis Haslem, former captain of the Heat, is in Indianapolis working for ESPN for the series. And he was on Pat McAfee's show today. And I'll tell you what, he had some unbelievable stuff on culture. And he said, culture is when everyone on your team understands it's more important to be part of something bigger than yourself. And he says, when one person steps out of line, the rest of the people put him back in line. And he said, and I thought, that is truly a team. And he was talking about what happened a year ago at Miami with Jimmy Butler. And when Jimmy Butler, as you remember, challenged Spoelstra in a regular season game, Udonis, who's a very close friend of Jimmy, stepped in and basically said, "I'm going to knock you out." And they said, "Why would you do that?" He said, "Because the team's more important than one guy." So,
But I look at the Pacers, and I would personally take Rick Carlisle to knock out Tyrese Halliburton with no help from anyone.
no, I'm James Johnson's my guy, buddy. I'm
There
standing
you
right
go.
next to him.
I'm
That's my
thinking
guy.
Tyrese is a great basketball player. I don't trust him in a fight for a second, though.
That's not
He
his
can probably
job.
talk his way out of it, though. He
Yeah.
probably joke,
He's a
giggle,
good
talk his
kid.
way
I
out of
respect
it.
it. He's a good kid.
Great kid. Great kid.
Good kid. Good kid. Great game. Great game all around. That does then, by the way, talking about Tyrese Halliburton, we can't go the whole show without talking about his performance. 22 points, 11 assists, 9 rebounds, 2 steals, almost a triple double. He looked more aggressive than he did in game two. He looked like he was trying to not just get his own shots, but also get his teammates' shots and forcing the issue in that way. And as I said earlier, the tempo that he was just pushing the team with the whole game.
CT knows Gainbridge Fieldhouse, their home court, is a fabulous facility, great place, and he is so comfortable at home. Most players are, but that home court he is so good at home. The fans love him, and he just plays at another level. It was very predictable to me how good he was going to be tonight, and he needed that
For
for
sure, for
himself.
sure. Coach, so
But
you've been good with the predictions, so I'm going to put the question to you of what your prediction is for game four of this
I
series.
wish I was gambling, but I'm not.
No, we don't,
But
no gambling over here. No.
no. I would be richer if I did. Maybe, maybe,
Nah.
maybe, maybe.
I'll tell
Okay,
you this,
go
if
ahead.
we if the three of us gambled on the NBA, we'd probably be able to have a TV budget to be in our own studio at the
Yeah.
game in the Gainbridge Fieldhouse.
I wish I was
I'll put you all
smarter.
on the private jet.
Let me tell you something. With all that I know about the NBA, if I gambled on it, I would be homeless. Because when I think you know something, we used to always say, "I'll bet the house on this game." It never works. So forget that stuff. The more you think you know less.
I'm never gambling.
Okay, so you want Friday's prediction?
Yes.
I am going with the OKC Thunder.
Okay.
I'm just going. I you know
Gut
me.
feeling or they
So,
bounce back game?
no bounce back game, consistent with what they've done all year. In a good game. I predicted this. Everyone was predicting, including my good brother Mo. It was a five gamer, and I thought we were going to be seven games from the get go, because I think these teams are really evenly matched.
The Pacers, if they were to win a championship, would be the first ever champions that weren't a top three seed or defending champions. Is that right?
I don't know.
Sounds about right,
I,
though. The
no,
most is about right.
I
I
just
think the
don't
only
know.
time a top three seed has won a champ, a non-top three seed has won a championship has been when they're defending champions, defending their title, like the Rockets, for example. So that would
Interesting.
make the Pacers, if they were to win, the most unlikely NBA champions ever.
I'll tell you what, that's why they're scary for game four. They truly have nothing to lose. Because if they lose it, they were supposed to lose it. OKC takes care of business, splitting, you know, 2 games in, you know, on the road. I think the Pacers will pull out game four because I think they figured out OKC's got to play two bigs, can't play two bigs. The bench is spotty at this point, 3 games in, and the Pacers have too much confidence now, believing in themselves, but believing in each other more than anything, that they don't need Haliburton or Pascal to go for 30 each to make sure they have a chance to win. They're going to win by doing what they do, is just play hard-nosed basketball.
I don't disagree at all. I think you hit it on the head. I would not be surprised if they won the game and got up 3-1. Oh, baby, then both bets are off maybe on that one now.
3-1 in the NBA Finals is a
3-1 going to
dangerous place to
OKC,
be.
and then they got a chance to clinch in game six at home. Yeah, I mean,
Oh man, you
yeah, I
think they're
mean,
tearing up LA, they tear up Indy.
well, you
So
know, we won't go into that because of our international audience. We need people to come and visit if you can get into
we
our.
ain't doing
If
Trump's tourism advertising. Let's
no,
keep it
if
100.
Indy's easy to get to. Come no,
on
no,
now.
if we would let you into our country, anyone, you know, outside the
Yeah.
U.S., you know,
I went to Indiana last year.
yeah, good. You
I
ain't
went
getting
to
in this year.
Indiana.
They ain't letting you in this
It's
year,
funny
buddy.
because it's true. I've canceled all my US
I'm
plans for the summer. I'm not even gonna bother.
without 100%, brother.
I've seen them
Oh.
they detained the most followed man on TikTok, Carby Lane. He's like a influencer on TikTok, right? Mad famous, millions of followers. He got detained and sent back home. I said, damn, they're gonna detain him. We only got like 30,000. He's got 30 million. I got 30,000. I'm like, damn, I ain't got
That's
no
low
chance.
hanging fruit, but they're, yeah, that's tough.
But
Well, you know,
so
the funny joke, excuse me, the funny joke today was, they're sending in the troops and everything to LA. Every Super Bowl champion we ever had, the riots in the city are worse for a team that wins the Super Bowl than they
yes,
are for what we have
of
in LA.
course. Ridiculous. It's
The
ridiculous.
team, like
But
the, yeah, so I'm sorry.
what I was going to say, CT, you can probably give an insight on this, is, you know, over here when there's big football games, you know, soccer, as you guys would call it, big soccer games. So, for example, right, if it's Man United versus Arsenal, right, and so
Sure.
you're an Arsenal fan, you live in North London, you know which hotel Man United is staying at the night before the game, you're running in there pulling the fire alarm. You know what I mean? Like you're messing with what's do you think the Indiana fans? Because I came to Indiana, there's not that many nice hotels in Indiana. There's only a couple they can stay
It's
at.
changed. It's changed.
I know where
They can't hide them.
they're
I
all
know
within a
where
five
there's.
minute walk of each other, CT. I
Yeah,
could
no,
call all
they
five
it's
fire alarms in one night
no,
in 10 minutes.
No, it's a fabulous downtown. It's one
Oh,
of the best in
it's
the country.
nice,
No,
but what I'm saying
no,
is you think the
they're all
fans
at they're
will.
at the Conrad, and that's where they
Yeah.
are.
Yeah.
And no, but the security there, you ain't getting into the
Yeah,
hotel.
but the security guards are from Indiana. They're
No,
Pacers fans too. The staff
no,
don't
you,
want to lose their job. That's
no,
a good hotel to be
you're
staffed
bringing
at.
they the team
Yeah.
OKC's got like 20 security
Because I
guards.
think who did it early in the playoffs? Was it the Knicks or was it one of their opponents? Someone did this earlier in the playoffs. They set off the fire alarm in the middle of the night to one of the teams.
Sounds about right for the Knicks.
But
I'm not
stop that.
saying that you should do
No,
it. I'm just
it's not
saying
gonna,
that
that's
hypothetically, if I
yeah,
was a Pacers security man.
back in the old days that would happen. I remember I was playing in Boston playing the Celtics when Bird and those guys and ironically the Edmonton Oilers were playing the Boston Bruins at noon and we were playing at night and they hit the fire alarm at about 3 in the morning. And we go down to the lobby because it's going for about an hour. And I go down to the lobby, and who's sitting in the lobby? Wayne
Bread.
Gretzky. Wayne Gretzky.
Oh,
He's That's when he was playing. I
wow.
just sat next to him. We talked and everything. And
That's
the
crazy.
fire alarm went back off. We went upstairs. It's now 4 in the morning. We got our ass kicked.
There you go. There you go. So I'm just saying, if I happen to be
No,
a security hotel worker in Indiana who listened to this show, hypothetically, it might be a great idea. But I'm not telling anyone to do it.
Are you trying to get canceled or what?
No,
I
no,
mean,
no, no. I'm just
come on.
saying this is why I don't
Well,
work security.
But it goes both ways because it's the OKC fan that can do a quick Google search and find out where the Pacers stay, as far as where they live,
They're
and
gonna go what? Knock on everyone's Ring doorbell.
do the well. That's disruptive. Just the same. So all's fair in love and basketball, right?
This show is
Hey,
going totally off the tracks here. Holy cow.
the desperation of, I mean, think about it. These
But
the two teams that haven't won a championship. Sometimes you
we're
got to
going.
think about doing what you got
Listen,
to do.
going back to OKC up 3-1 is very different to going back to OKC 2-2 in a best of three where OKC now have home court.
Guaranteed.
That's the point
Guaranteed.
I'm demonstrating here
No,
is
1,000
the
points.
game four is so, you've worked so hard to steal game one, get the home court advantage. You can't lose it because I don't like the chances. As great as Indiana have been, if it's now a best of three and two of those three games are in Oklahoma, I don't like
No.
those odds for the Pacers.
No, that's why if the OKC's can somehow win, they have home court back. If they lose, they are in trouble.
I just won seven games. Go seven. Let's
And it's
get
interesting
better
because like
games going forward here, though.
Nesmith and Nembhard, because they were in foul trouble, they both finished with a very quiet, they made three shots each. They finished with a very quiet night. Now, you can't rely on them being in foul trouble, but it's going to be interesting to see how the next game is officiated. Do you know what I really liked seeing tonight was that foul late in the game Nesmith had on Caruso. Caruso gets a steal, he's going away in transition. And Nesmith has a nice hard foul, clean foul, didn't hit his head or anything, just wrapped up his arms as he was going for the layup. And I love the fact that, well, I didn't love that the referees took about an hour to review it, but I love the
No,
fact that they said this is
it
not
was
a
quick. It
flagrant
was
foul.
quick. No, and it was a huge play because it would have been two shots and the ball out of
Of
bounds.
course.
So that's why it was a very big play in a game that was going to be 6 points, and now it could have been three if he makes a
We
three-point
were
shot.
talking
That
about
was a big
this.
play. Yeah, so I thought the right call was made. So the officiating's been excellent.
We were talking about this on the stream I did, right? I was like, that's just a good, hard foul.
Sure.
And all
Guaranteed.
the chat comments are just kids that are like, that's a flagrant, that's a flagrant. They're calling me Unk. They're like, Unk, this ain't the 90s no more. That's a damn.
That's what,
So damn, I ain't that
12
old. I was born year
olds and
in the 90s.
younger
What are we
watching
talking
that.
about?
No,
Unk, this
that
ain't the
was
90s
a,
no more. I was 6 years old in the 90s.
but I tell you, that was a smart, a very smart
Amazing
foul.
foul.
More than, a hard typical playoff foul. That was very smart to not let that ball go up one whatsoever. And then for that play to make it, and then it came out, wasn't flagrant. But that shows for the next game, you can be physical and fair, and still play that hard. And so that's tough for OKC to see that play because SGA is in trouble. Chet obviously is in trouble with that physicality. It bodes well for the Pacers.
Absolutely. TJ McConnell, first player since 1973-74 season to come off the bench with 10 points, 5 assists, and 5 steals in a finals game.
So, difference maker.
Crazy. Who was that that
Just
got that stat line in 74?
don't ask. Don't even try to look it up.
It was the Celtics
It's in the Knicks, one
and the
seventy
Bucks.
three, 72, 73, the Knicks one.
Celtics and the Bucks played in that finals, I believe. But I'm not going to dive deep into that stat right now. What I will do is thank you both for your time. There's been a fun episode, as ever, of the Hoop Genius podcast. Any other closing thoughts before we get out of here?
No, I just think we're the biggest thing now is Indiana has hope. So game four is so meaningful. If OKC had won somehow, people would say the series is over. And because they're gonna win game four. No, this series is the OKC is vulnerable right now. And this is gonna we've got a great series going right now because what the
Yes, we
Pacers
do.
have come to play.
CT?
Hey, this is getting good, but this is now it's time once again. I always say the superstars got a superstar, and Shea's got to have a bounce back. Halliburton's got to be as consistent, if not better, than what he's been in this series to date. And then everybody else has to fill in the gaps. J Dub or Jay Williams, I'd say, he should have a game of note. Pascal's been consistent. So This should be good. I'm looking forward to it. So we should fast forward through Thursday.
I can't believe I even needed to look up that stat we were talking about. It was, of course, John Havlicek. It was so obvious. But he did it with 28 points, 12 rebounds, 7 assists, and 5 steals.
That's not, we're putting a Hall of Fame guy
Kind
as coming
of
off the
louder.
bench.
Kind of a little bit louder.
Yeah. Shout out to TJ McConnell anyway. But no, that was a thrilling game. I don't have a horse
Very
in this
good.
race. I don't care who wins. I just hope that game four is just as competitive as this one. Give me overtime. I don't care. But we will be here breaking it down. CT's got the Pacers hat on. He's repping already. I'm gonna need to see CT at a parade if they can get this done.
Hey, I'm there. For the first time, I'll be a Pacers fan outright.
They converted him. Yeah, appreciate it, gentlemen. If you guys enjoy the show, subscribe, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast from. CT just announced another camp in Istanbul. Is that right?
Yeah, it's the camp I've been doing it 15 years. My guy, Sinan Gule Legacy Camp. It's the first through the 5th of July. So all the kids in Europe, if you want to work, it's the old school morning workout, afternoon workout, evening games. It's 5 days of, if you think you like basketball, here we
If you
go
want to
with
be like TJ McConnell in the NBA Finals,
it.
this is the
There it
place to
is.
go.
There it is. It's not for superstardom progress. No, this is for, let's just get in here and put in some hard work. Have a little fun doing it, of course, but
Sure.
It's
And
a
then
new camp.
if you want to coach like Rick Carlisle in the NBA Finals, you can check out the Coaching You app and podcast by searching Coaching You.
He's one of our faculty members.
There we go.
Oh, there it is.
There we go. It's all
There
making
it
sense now. It's all making sense. And we'll be back. Well, Coach Sir is going to be away for Friday show, but CT and I will be rocking it out anyway. And then Coach will be back for game number five, the all important, what could be a
Oh.
closeout game number five.
Wow, you got close out already. Oh my
Well,
God.
I'm just saying, it technically would
Could
be a
be.
closeout
Oh, we need
game.
seven. We need seven. Come on now.
Now that's good. Game five is rough because I've got to go from doing this here at 6 a.m. Then I've got to go to the airport and fly to Eastern Europe. So that's going to be a fun day. But before then, we've got a lot more basketball. So stay locked in. And
Appreciate it, gentlemen.
back. Appreciate you all. And until next time, get buckets.